Having started with that song and narration with Simeon, we want to focus today on the story of Simeon at Christmas. I'm calling this Simeon's First Christmas. And if you're not familiar with this character named Simeon, you're going to find this to be a very interesting story and passage. So I want you to turn in the gospel that Luke provided for us through the Holy Spirit. And it's in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is the account I shared on Christmas Eve. This is the traditional Christmas story. But what most people do, they will read the traditional Christmas story through verse 20. And they forget that there's still more to the Christmas story that happened about a week after the birth of this baby. So what we're going to do today is focus on what happened right after what we call the Christmas story. Now, in the context in Luke chapter 2, you've got the account of the shepherds who get the message in the fields at night about a Savior who has been born. When you get down to the end of that account in verse 20, we read that the shepherds returned to the fields and they were glorifying and they were praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as it had been told unto them there in the fields. At that point, we now switch, as you see in verse 21, when 8 days are completed. So now there's 8 days between verse 21 and verse 20 and verse 21 with the story of Simeon. So here's what I want to do today as we go through the story. I'm going to give you just three words that summarize and kind of outline for us what happens around this man named Simeon. It is believed that Simeon was an older man. He, as you heard in the narration, was probably a white-headed guy. He's near the end of his life. And there's one promise God has made to Simeon that prior to his death, he would actually put his eyes on the Messiah. Now, Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would come over 700 years before Jesus is born. Simeon is a faithful man. He's waiting for this time. And right here, I think near the end of his life, he has that opportunity as the Holy Spirit leads him, which we'll see today in the story, leads him to that place where he gets there to see and actually touch and hold this newborn king of the world. So what I want to do with this as we begin is I want to provide what I call the setting. Here's a question. Why was Simeon there in the first place, and why were Mary and Joseph there in the first place? There really should not have been a meeting 8 days after Jesus' birth between a very old man near the end of life and this young family with this little newborn baby that they called Jesus. It shouldn't have happened that way, but there was a reason for it, and that's what I call the setting. So in verse 21 through about verse 24, we're going to kind of unpack these quickly in a summary fashion and then get into the actual time that Simeon got to the parents and the baby. It says in verse 21 that when 8 days now were completed or accomplished for the circumcising of the child, talking about Jesus, his name was then called Jesus, and there's a reason for that I'll share in just a minute. He was named that way, so named that way of the angel before he was even conceived in the womb. Which, if you want to make a little side note, that also is part of your argument against abortion. Even before conception in the womb, God had a plan for this baby. And when the days of her, talking about Mary, her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, talking about the baby, they brought him to Jerusalem, there where the temple was, and they brought him to present him to the Lord. Now there's a parenthetical note in verse 23 that explains why they brought him to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, here's the quote, "Every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And verse 24 adds that in that context, they were to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. And here's what the sacrifice entailed. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay, that is a setting now into which Simeon intersects with this young family and this little baby. So let's go back to verse 21 and let's do a quick summary of what's going on here. It starts off in verse 21 and says that 8 days have now passed since what we would call Christmas. 8 days later, something takes place called circumcision. Now, here's what I want to give you as we start here with these few verses. There are actually three aspects of the Old Testament law that are at play in this, or at this temple encounter with Simeon. If you are not Jewish, which I am not, I don't know if any of you are, but if you are not Jewish, you cannot fully appreciate and understand what was going on when Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple. There's reasons for that based on the Old Testament law. So I'm going to give you three words here that kind of show you what's going on from the Old Testament. Number one is the word circumcision. You notice in verse 21, it was after 8 days. The law prescribed that circumcision was to take place 8 days after birth for the male child. Now, at the same time as circumcision, the baby would also be given its name. So the text says in verse 21 that when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, it was then they gave him the name Jesus. Now, in case you are wondering, I think this is really neat. The name of Jesus in the original language basically means Yahweh is salvation. Can you imagine naming a baby basically the salvation of God? Okay? When the baby was born, it's like, hey, the angel said, name him. Salvation is of God. Okay, that's the name Jesus has, and it happens when he's 8 days old. So they're not waiting there. You know, we're accustomed in a hospital, at least I remember this, in the hospital, you agonize for months over the name of the child. Right? We're making a list, and if it's a girl, we're going to go through these top three or four options. If it's a boy, we'll go through these options. And then once the child is born, hey, doc, put this name on the certificate. This is what the name would be. First name, middle name, last name, boom, done deal. All right, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and that ain't the way it happened. They wait 8 days upon circumcision. Then it's like, all right, now we'll give you his name. And his name is Jesus. So the Bible says when they're setting the scene now for Simeon, the first thing they did was the circumcision. Now the second aspect of the Old Testament law that had to be carried out upon birth was what's called purification. So if you go back into Leviticus, you will discover that upon the birth of a child, the mother remained unclean, ceremonially unclean, for a certain number of days. If the child was a male, which we're dealing with here with Jesus, she would be unclean 33 days after the time of circumcision. So when the Bible says in verse 22 that when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, here's what's happened. From verse 20 to verse 21, 8 days have passed. From verse 21 to verse 22, 33 more days have passed. Now here's what we're talking about. When you get into the temple now, they're bringing the child to provide the sacrifices for the purification of Mary as a mother, going through this birthing process. Jesus is now about 6 weeks old. So about 40 days have passed. So we've got 8 days, circumcision, his name. 33 days later, after the time of purification, Mary now has to go to the temple. So circumcision may have happened in Bethlehem where he was born. But 33 days later now, they've got to make the trip to the temple in Jerusalem. And when they get there, the reason for that is the purification of Mary after the birth. So it says the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, are accomplished. Here's what they do. They bring Jesus there to Jerusalem. Now, what she has to offer at that point, if you are a person of sufficient means, you offer a lamb. If you're not a person of sufficient means, if you are a poor family, then you offer the alternative, which is what you find later in verse 24, where it is a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So they come into the temple area. It's some believe they really didn't have to provide the actual animals. They kind of paid the money toward that purification for that sacrifice. I'm not exactly sure how they did it. But about 40 days after Jesus is born, they're now in the temple. And the second primary reason they are there is purification upon the birth of the child. And the third reason is this. At the end of verse 22, it says, while they go there to the temple, they bring him to Jerusalem. The days of purification are completed. But notice the last phrase. They bring him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. going back to the book of Exodus, God said, the firstborn are mine. And you've got to redeem the firstborn. Now here's what's interesting. This is crazy theology. Jesus is the redeemer of mankind. And yet, at about 6 weeks of age, they had to redeem the redeemer. Isn't that crazy? Because every time a male child is born, they take him to the temple, present him to the Lord, and when they do so, he's got to be redeemed as a firstborn, going back to the Exodus in chapter 12 and 13 of that book. So in verses 21 through 24, you've got all three aspects of the Old Testament law intertwined as they present Jesus there in the temple of Jerusalem. Now here's where things change. While they are there, there is the meeting. And now we get to Simeon. The reason they are there is all the Old Testament law. Purification, presenting them to the Lord. Circumcision took place 8 days after birth. But now they get to the temple to do all of this. And here's what we run into in verse 25. And behold, remember that interjection from Christmas Eve in our service. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Simeon appears out of the middle of nowhere. We know nothing more about Simeon. We do not know if he was a married man. We do not know if he had children. We do not know what his occupation was. All we know is there is a strange, we're assuming, older man in the temple at this point when they come in to accomplish the works of the law. Now it says about this man in verse 25. This man Simeon, the same man, was just and devout. In fact, I would argue this. You know, oh, this is good. I don't think it really matters who Simeon's family was. I don't think it matters what his occupation was. Here's what God says matters. He followed me. He was righteous, he was devout, and he was just. Don't get so tied up on a title at work. Don't get so tied up or kind of get yourself all wrinkled up over or what you've got a certain status in society. It didn't matter for Simeon. What mattered for Simeon was he was righteous and devout. Now here's what it says. Simeon, as a man who was just and devout, being very careful in his religious duty. That's what the word literally means. He's being very careful as a man following God. He was waiting for something. He wasn't waiting for Santa, okay? He wasn't waiting for Christmas morning to get, you know, get his gift certificate at Dick's Sporting Goods or JCPenney. He wasn't waiting for that, right? Here's what he was waiting for. It says Simeon was waiting for something called the consolation of Israel. This was the one focus of Simeon's life at this point. The word consolation means to comfort or to refresh. Now here's what was going on. So in the first century, we've had 400 years of not hearing from God between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. Now God starts to work. He sends His Son at Christmas time. And what the people started to call that coming Messiah was the consolation of Israel. We want someone to come in and provide comfort for the people of Israel. We want someone to come in and console the people in the context of Roman dominion. And Simeon is waiting for that Messiah. Bible says he's just. He's devout. He's waiting for, longing for, eagerly looking for the consolation of Israel. And here's what happens. Specifically it says that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit was upon this man named Simeon. Now you need to look out for things like that in Scripture. Three times in the Simeon story, you read the Holy Spirit was involved in his life. Look in the end of verse 25, Holy Spirit upon him. Verse 26, it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, he came into the temple by the Holy Spirit. There is something there, as Monty would say, the FBI would call a clue. If you're going to be following after God and seeking after God, the Holy Spirit's going to be upon you and working in you and directing you. And so Simeon there is an old man. Holy Spirit upon him, directing him. It says then, verse 26, here's a reason. It had been revealed to Simeon by that Holy Spirit. Now, how did he do that? Was it a vision, dream, audible? We don't know. Some kind of influence, impartation of knowledge in some way. God made it clear to Simeon something. Here's what he says. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Now, here you go, Simeon. Simeon, I'm going to paraphrase. Simeon, you are not going to die and leave this physical life until you put your eyes on the Messiah. That is the promise Simeon is given. You're seeking after the consolation of Israel. Holy Spirit is telling you something. You're not going to see death. Now, that is why we assume that Simeon was near the end of his life. Right near the end of his life, an older man, he has experienced some stuff in life. I promise you that. But I got to assume something. If God promised him, you're not going to die until you see that Messiah. You know what I think? I think there are days in Simeon's life where the only thing that got him through was that promise of God. I truly do. No matter how bad the day was, Simeon said, I'm not going to put my eyes and plant my eyes on the circumstances of this life right now. I've got the promise of God. I'm not going to see death until I see that Messiah. This is the man who was in the temple when Mary and Joseph come in with the baby. So we read in verse 27 that on that exact same day, Simeon comes in by the Holy Spirit and comes into the temple. I don't know what that was like that morning. Simeon wakes up that morning, had his alarm clock set. How many times do you think Simeon hits snooze on a given morning? I don't know. Let's just say once, right? It goes off. He hits the snooze button. Lays there 9 more minutes. Why do they do snoozes for 9 minutes? I don't know. But mine is 9 minutes. I ain't got a clue. What's I don't know 9 minutes. Why 10 minutes? I don't know. So he hits the snooze. And 9 minutes later, it goes off again. And he finally gets up. Now, something was different that day, though. Something was different that day. And we don't know how to describe it. All it says is, Holy Spirit led him and directed him and said, listen, Simeon, I don't know what you got planned today, but you got to go to the temple. He goes to the temple, comes in by the Holy Spirit into the temple. And here's what it says, verse 27. When he gets there, the parents bring in the child Jesus to do for him after all that Old Testament law. Is that not providential timing? Simeon, whatever you got on your planner today, cancel it because I'm leading you to the temple because I promised you, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. And today, you need to be there because when you get there, you're going to find we're going to call them parents, technically Joseph wasn't, but you're going to find the parents coming in with a little baby to perform all the different purification rites there upon this birth. Simeon, you got to get there today. And God moved on him and led him to church that day. So then verse 28, here's what happens. Simeon gets in there, and I kind of like the way the narration put it. He was wide-eyed and watched. And I think he was moving through that temple that day knowing something's up. Listen, when God's on you that heavy, something's up. And Simeon knew something's up today. I don't think it's going to be normal business at church today. So we get in verse 28. Simeon's there in the temple. Mary and Joseph have come in. They've got the child there. They're paying the redemption price on everything they got to do. And we read in between verse 27 and 28, Simeon knew who it was, who the people were. He knew who the baby was. And he goes up to them. And here's what it says. He goes up there and takes the baby, takes Jesus up in his arms, and he blesses God. And then he basically says, Lord, now you can let me die. Now, I want you to go back, though, quick. Look in verse 28. I want you to think about the scene here. I don't know about you, but you tell me, as a parent, your baby is about 6 weeks old at this point. And you go into the church like you've always done, temple in his day, but he goes into the place of meeting with God that day. And as those parents go in, they got their newborn baby, about 6 weeks old. Parents, and we should be, are quite protective of our newborns. right? And especially the context of a flu going around and another virus going around and colds. And listen, I don't want you touching my baby. I don't mean to be mean, but I just don't want you to when it's 6 weeks old. Now imagine this. You go in as parents, your pride and joy here. You know all the stuff's been said about this baby. And a stranger comes up to you. You may have never seen this guy before. And you're only going into the temple that day because you're trying to be devout and just to follow the Old Testament law. And you go in that day. And I'm trying to imagine this. I don't think Simeon meant to be rude. I don't think he meant to be offensive. And I don't know how much conversation they had. But somewhere in the midst, with the Holy Spirit heavy upon Simeon, he knew this is the Messiah. And Simeon goes up to them parents. And did he say anything? Did he say, by the way, Holy Spirit's on me today and told me to take your baby from you? I don't know if he said anything to him. But the text says, all we read is somewhere between seeing the parents and seeing the child, in verse 28, next thing we know, the baby's in his arms. Now, can you imagine as a parent, a man maybe at the end of his life, and you may be thinking, is this dude's hands clean? Right? I mean, is this guy come in with anything and caught a little bug of some sort? Because I don't want you messing with my six-week-old baby like that. That's the way we would think, right? Yes. Listen, I'm going to assume that may have been the most holy time that temple has ever seen. I'm almost wondering if it wasn't only Simeon who knew for sure there was something going on that day. I wonder if even God had prepared the hearts of Mary and Joseph. And when this old man, with those wrinkled hands and that white hair, goes over there where Mary's at. I'm assuming she's carrying Mary. It could have been Joseph. I don't know. But when he goes over there where they're at, he reaches with those wrinkled fingers and takes that newborn baby at 6 weeks of age. And here's what it says. He takes the baby in his arms. Now, if you like the little trivia stuff of Scripture, this is the only place in the New Testament that word is used for arms. Here's why that's important. If you were to look into that original language in that Greek, the word arm speaks of where the arm bends. Okay, it's where the arm is curved. And here's what I'm thinking. Simeon did not just take the baby and do this like, oh Lord, now you can let me die. I've seen the Messiah here. Parent, take the baby back. Here's what it says. The Greek word says Simeon took the baby into the curved part of his arm. And I'm going to tell you what I think. I might be wrong, and if I get in heaven, I'm wrong. It's going to be okay. I got a feeling Simeon took that baby and cradled that baby in the curved part of his arms and held it to his chest. And I don't know if I'm right, but there's something that's always touched me. It always touched me when I've seen a great, great grandparent wrinkled up with all the stuff of life to take the fresh, smooth skin of a little baby. And it's something about seeing that little baby's finger there on top of that elderly person's head. It's something about that juncture of life when you've got one near the end of life and one starting life. And here in this temple, with those wrinkled hands, we're assuming that white hair and all this man has been through, he takes this little baby and holds him up. And I'm going to tell you, I know it don't say it, but I'm just going to assume there were some tears in Simeon's eyes. Amen. Let me tell you why. First of all, it was a baby. And there's something special about a baby. It always will be something special about a baby. I don't care who you are, it's something special about a baby. But I'll tell you something else. Simeon also knows that God that he had followed all his life to this point made him a promise. And that God told Simeon, you are not going to see death until you see the Lord's Christ. And here he now, can you imagine the stories and testimonies Simeon's got for the rest of his life now? And I don't know how long he had after this, but for the rest of his life, listen y'all, it's these arms that held that baby. It's these arms. When I looked into what I was holding there, I was holding the salvation of the world
in these arms. And my God said, I promise you, there ain't going to be no funeral for you, Simeon, until you see this Christ. Man, they came in that day and all they were going to do was do what the Old Testament law said. And when they get there, we read, and behold, there was a man named Simeon. So Simeon takes the baby, and then here's what he does. Let me give you a little clue of life. If you want to know how spiritual a person is, if it's somebody you want to follow in life and emulate as a Christian, check out how they pray. See, if I were Simeon at this point, I mean, my goodness, you talk about a Christmas present. Here's what Simeon does. Simeon takes that baby and he prays. Now here's what he says. So verse 29, Lord, that's a good way to start your prayer, right? Acknowledge who God is and who you're not. Lord, here's the deal. Now you can let your servant depart in peace. Okay. Now you can take my life. Now my days are done. Because you've promised. Now let me give you a little bit of trivia in case you like this. The prayer here starting in verse 29 in Latin is known as the Nunc Dimittis. And literally what that means is, now dismiss. Here's what Simeon says. Lord, now dismiss me. I'm done. Simeon takes the baby. Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace. And the reason is, according to your word, my eyes have now seen that Messiah. My eyes have seen your salvation. Now, here's what's so neat about the Simeon story. And people don't, we read over it too quickly. So when Simeon says in verse 29, you can let your servant depart, it is the same word used in the Bible for releasing a prisoner. It's the same word used in the Bible for untying a ship and letting it sail. What is Simeon talking about? He's talking about death. Simeon says, listen, I am viewing my death as nothing more than untying the ship and just letting her sail on. Lord, just release the prisoner now, right? Release me from the hurts and pains and confusion of this world. I'm ready to go. And here's what I want to tell you. It makes a very big difference if you're ready to go and your number's called. Simeon was ready to go. Lord, you've kept your promise. I've seen the Messiah. Now just cut me loose and let me sail on to heaven. So that's his prayer. God, let me depart now in peace. You've kept your word. I have seen your salvation in verse 30. And again, I don't have time, but you need to see this in verse 30. You have got to see God's salvation before you see death. You see that?
Right.
If you see death and ain't seen Jesus first, it ain't go in for you real well. You've got to see His salvation and then see death. So Simeon says, I've seen your salvation. Jesus says, He is the picture, the essence of salvation. I've seen your salvation. And now because of that, he then adds a little bit more. It's almost like Simeon knew that one day we were going to emphasize missions. And we were going to emphasize Christology. So Simeon says in verse 31, Lord, about this salvation, you have prepared it. You've prepared it before the face of all people. It was part of your predetermined plan from eternity past. Your plan A all along. You've prepared this. And notice here, it's not just for the Jews. It's universal application of the gospel to all peoples. So then he goes on in verse 32 and says about this salvation. Jesus came as a light. He came as a light of revelation, or to reveal, to lighten the Gentiles. Isaiah said, those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus comes as a light. So Simeon says, you've sent this salvation as a light for the Gentiles, and not just for the Gentiles, but your own people Israel. It becomes their glory. The chosen people of God, through whom God provides the Messiah, becomes a glorious thing that the salvation goes out to all the ends of the earth. Now let me tell you what I think would have been so startling. For these Jewish parents to hear Simeon say, I mean, this is a startling prophecy.
Jewish people, and for Simeon to say, this light is not only for the Jewish people, it's for the stinking, pig-eating Gentiles.
Amen.
Listen, the mission's mandate starts with the Christmas story. Why do we emphasize light and moon? Why do we emphasize our missionaries? Why do we emphasize people living in darkness who've never heard about Christ? We emphasize that because even here in the beginning with Simeon, Simeon says this child is to be a light to the pagan peoples around the world. And all this is part of his prayer. And then Simeon, I'm not going to do it today, but he makes a couple comments to the parents there about the division that Jesus brings among people who believe in Him and those who don't believe in Him. And that's something we can talk about later. But here's the main point today for Simeon. In the narration earlier, if you remember this, you heard the sentence that one look into the face of Jesus and Simeon knew the hope of his life had been fulfilled. And then the narration said this, and one look into the face of our Savior, and we also will know the same. See, again, you've got to see the salvation before you get to the death. And that's what Simeon shows us. So I'm going to give you one summary statement. I'm going to be done. You can get back home, have your leftover turkey and ham, and whatever else you got leftovers you didn't finish eating yesterday. Here's the final statement of old Simeon. Here's what I think Simeon would say. Oh my goodness, if Simeon could come back today and kind of bust them doors wide open, wouldn't you love to hear his side of the story? Wouldn't you love to hear what he was thinking and feeling when he took that child? But here's what I think Simeon would say. Hold on to God's promises. Right? But do it unto death. I don't know anything about Simeon other than what's in this story. But what I do know, he knew God had promised him something. And he held on to that promise. And even when he got to the end of his life, he said, all right, Lord, you have kept your promise. I have seen your salvation. I'm ready to check out. That's the story of Simeon. So this is Simeon's very first Christmas there in the temple, right after. The baby was circumcised. They come in. And he is, in some ways, a forgotten character of the Christmas story. So let's bow as we pray. As we have opportunity to respond today to the text, to the message, to God's prompting. And as we pray and close during this time, I do want you to have that opportunity. If you today have a special concern on your heart, something that you want to lift up in prayer, that's what this quiet time is for. You know this altar area is open and available. You can come and kneel as you pray today. But I do hope there's something in Simeon's story that kind of stands out to you that's prompted a response. Whether it's a response of thanksgiving for God's goodness and His faithfulness to keep His promises. Maybe a response to the promise of God regarding heaven for those who have seen the salvation of the Lord as Simeon did. But it also may be, I know there's not many folks here today. A lot of folks are out. But I don't know, maybe this is a day for some reason God sent you here just like He did Simeon. And it may be, I don't know, maybe though for years and years you've been playing some with church and playing some with salvation. And maybe it kind of hits you right between the eyes today that if you don't see God's salvation before you see death, it's not going to end well. So as we have this opportunity to kind of be prayerful and reflective, you've got that opportunity. If you're not saved, you've never taken Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never confessed sin, repented of sin, and said, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for me and was raised from the dead. And I'm trusting in You alone to be my Savior. So this is an opportunity for you to pray to that end for your salvation today. And you know, as we close, I'm always available after the service. We can talk more about that or anything else that you've got on your heart. But let me be quiet and give you at least 5 or 6 seconds just to kind of quietly pray. And then I'm going to wrap it up with an amen. And we'll be dismissed on this day after Christmas.
So our God, as we close things out today, we're so thankful that you put into your word the story of Simeon. We could have lived all these years and not ever have known about this incident, but you put it in here for a reason. And so we are thankful that as Simeon proclaimed, "Now I have seen God's salvation, and I'm ready to depart in peace." A light not only for the people of Israel, but a light for the Gentile nations and the pagan peoples of the world to have the opportunity to be saved. And so, as you have heard today, our prayers, some of these were simply prayers saying, "Thank you for saving me. God, thank you for my family. Thank you for Christmas this year." Others were prayers with some burdens that nobody else knows about but the person and you. So we are asking for you to work in light of these prayers. We pray as we leave today that you would give to us a great rest of this holiday season, a fun time, a safe time, and keep before us the reminder that it really does all come down to a baby who was born. So bless now as we go. And Lord, we just want you to know we love you. We lift praises up to you here at Christmas time. And we submit our prayers in Jesus' name as we prepare to leave. Amen.